You know, this whole story, FTX, along with this guy who is now a household name, for better or for worse, probably for worse, Sam Bankman-Fried, it just gets, you know, for someone that I think, and I'm just going to speak for myself, has a decent understanding of the markets and finance, but the crypto thing is a whole nother world. I don't get it. Charlie Gasparino of Fox Business Network wrote a great piece about this in the New York Post over the weekend. He's now joining us on KCMO. Charlie, before we get into, you know, what's kind of happened here since then, just explain to people what this guy did. Is he the Bernie Madoff of crypto, or is he just a guy who had a really bad month and lost billions of dollars from his investors?
I mean, my opinion is, I mean, listen, first off, there's never, all these financial scams are different, or frauds, or, you know, blow-ups. They're all different. And, you know, Bernie Madoff was literally from the outset, you know, maybe from the beginning, he lost some money. He was investing money legitimately, but almost from, you know, for many years, he had a long time fraud. I mean, what if this is a fraud, this FTX thing, which, you know, I think there's a good chance it is. It was something that happened, you know, in a relatively shorter period of time, and something that happened in a way that was much different than Madoff. Madoff was a classic Ponzi scheme where for years he kept taking money from people, paying out money when people took it, wanted to, you know, take their funds out. This is a little different, okay? This was literally, if you believe the worst of it, when the you-know-what hit the fan on trading in crypto, he had an exchange, Sam Bankman-Fried, where people had money and the exchange where they could trade crypto. He literally took that money from those people and used it to trade with. And that's where he lost money. And it all occurred over probably a 6-month period of time, but it picked up wicked steam towards the last month before he was declared bankruptcy. Now, I mean, I guess the question is, is this a fraud? I can just tell you this. If you run an exchange, like the New York Stock Exchange or the CME, Terry Duffy, that runs the CME, has called this a fraud. If you have segregated accounts, you're not really supposed to take that money. That money is not yours. That money is in the wallet of the person who wants to trade Bitcoin for Ether or Ether for XRP or whatever crummy, crypto that people are trading these days. Where this gets really interesting and the fraud comes in is that Sam Bankman-Fried, on the side, had a hedge fund. It was called Alameda Capital. Alameda Research. They called it research. They didn't really do research. I think they called it research just to, you know, so they wouldn't have, they can get a bank account. You know, banks are loathe to lend to risky traders or to have accounts. Call it research. You know, who's against research, right? So they called it research. In any event, this research firm started losing a ton of money when, you know, one of the downdrafts of crypto, and that's when it started to make up the difference, started taking money out of the accounts, and it lost that money. Now, here's what's interesting, where it could be worse than Madoff from an investor standpoint, is that Madoff, you were able to claw back a lot of the ill-gotten gains. See, in a Ponzi scheme, what comes in goes out, right?
Yeah.
And so people that put money with Madoff and say they left it there for 10 years, they were able, in large part, to get their initial investment out because, not with the gains,
yeah,
because other people took that money out with, you know, as gains, as ill-gotten gains. So Fred Wilpon, who owns the Mets, had to just pay back, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to the Madoff Trust. And what happened was most people got like a significant portion of their initial investment back.
Mm-hmm.
back. This might not happen because this is purely, you can't claw back trading losses. They literally gambled it in Vegas, so to speak.
Wow. So,
and that's where this gets really nasty.
So what does this mean? I mean, with crypto in general, the crypto bros have been convinced that this is the way of the future and the stock exchange is going to be old news in a generation. There's not a lot of oversight to it. We know that this guy was a big donor to Democrats across the board. What does this mean for oversight for crypto at large and how this entire industry moves forward?
Well, I mean, there's obviously going to be some oversight. I will say this, though. I hope this doesn't, like, sort of degenerate into a debate over, like, regulation. Should we be regulating crypto? Should we do this? Do we do that? Does the SEC need to, like, make everybody register as a crypto exchange and all that? If this is what we think it is, it's outright theft.
Yeah.
There is no... This does not have to do with regulation. This has to do with someone taking something that's not theirs and gambling.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Doing it and losing it. That's been a crime since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. And I hope we don't go. There's a lot of noise about, oh, we need regulation. Listen, if you're going to trade crypto, you got to know it's Ether. I mean, Ether. Ether is one of the cryptos, but you know it's air. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what does Bitcoin really represent? I mean, Bitcoin is maybe the best of them, right? Ethereum's Ether coin is one of the best. Why is that? Because they're attached to blockchains, okay, that actually conduct some degree of business. But what is that? What is that? Is that blockchain really that big a deal right now? I mean, have you ever bought a slice of pizza with Bitcoin? I mean, you know, you can buy a slice of pizza with dollars.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even the best of them, where you think there might be some inherent value because there's a technology attached to it, are suspect. You know, there's a lot of air here. So I think, you know, if you're involved in this bit, in this, if you think this is the wave of the future, you're gambling. I don't think there's any amount of regulation that could stop it. My point is, though, that this is different. If this is true, if Sam Bankman-Fried or whoever, one of his minions, took money that's not theirs and gambled with it in that Alameda research, that is called theft.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to jail for that.
Why
and that
this...
would be the best regulation.
Why is this guy sitting down with CNBC's Andrew Ross Sorkin? I mean, it was stunning to me that he does a sit-down interview when he's possibly, you know, the biggest criminal in the financial world today. What is the thought process there?
Well, I mean, who knows? I can't get in the guy's brain cells. I will say this, though. There's a delusional quality to what he's saying. You know, he owns 90% of the Alameda Capital, which lost the money, but he doesn't run it. You know, it's not his. I mean, I started parsing. I think Andrew, to be honest with you, asked all the right questions. I thought his tone, he would have been served well to have me there. I would have stopped him and said, wait a second. Okay, so you're saying it's okay to take customer money from FTX. Remember, he was explaining about how everybody on the FTX platform had margin agreements, meaning they could borrow. They can borrow from each other, and Alameda was on it. And I would say, wait, so you're saying it's okay to take people's money and gamble it?
Mm-hmm.
There's no, I mean, you're telling me that's kosher? I mean, I think Andrew needed that because I think, and now getting to the point, what is he doing? I mean, my guess is that this guy is trying to tell the authorities that, listen, if you want to charge me, you're going to have to prove intent, and I didn't intentionally do this. You know, this was not intent. Therefore, it may go away as a criminal case is his hope. And maybe he'll just get nailed civilly because you have to prove a high level of intent. What he's saying is one big mistake.
What
just screwed up, you know?
What about, you know, mom and pops? Was this impact mostly to big investors, or is there a mom and pop angle where anybody and everybody was investing in this thing? And you know,
oh, you know, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many people are in crypto.
Okay.
I mean, I want to think. You know, you want to think that it's. You know, it might not be your 80-year-old, you know, Aunt Millie, but it is. I mean, there are a lot of average people that hold this stuff in wallets. And FTX was one of the major, you know, exchanges that people held it in because it had such, because of this guy, he was like a showman. on top of the fact that he had all these celebrity endorsers.
Yeah, Tom Brady. Yeah,
Bunchin and this one, Tom Brady. And he was feeded by the upper echelon of Wall Street, and he had investors that were supposedly sophisticated, like Sequoia in there, which gives him a certain bona fide. I mean, that's why people went. I mean, for him to go and do this was shocking because of the level of notoriety is the wrong word. He has notoriety now, but the level of fame and stature he had. Listen, in September, just weeks before this thing imploded, he was at the Robin Hood Conference. If you know anything about the Robin Hood Conference, it's a big conference in New York that raises money for charities, but all the big hedge fund guys, all the big investors go, and people, announce their investment strategies at the Robin Hood Conference. It's been going on for years. You can look it up. No relation to Robin Hood, the brokerage firm. He was on stage with Larry Fink, the head of BlackRock, who runs a $10 or $8 trillion money management firm known as BlackRock, which is the biggest in the world. He was on the stage with him. That tells you something.
Wow. This is wild.
It's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. And this story is far from done. And Charlie Gasparino, Fox Business, has been all over it. Charlie, it's always good to have you on. Hey, I don't know if you saw this, but your Mizzou Tigers are playing in the Gasparilla Bowl. Did you see that? I mean, what about the Gasparino Bowl?
Well, that's funny you say that because I had some of my old classmates from Mizzou on Facebook saying exactly the same thing. The Gasparilla Bowl, and you want to hear another sort of, 6 degree of separation? Jose Gasparo, whatever his name was a pirate in Tampa. Okay, right? Remember he had the island off Tampa? I mean, that's the whole story. And Tampa, the city of Tampa, has a Gasparilla Festival and all that, right? One of my first jobs, I think my first job at a graduate school was at the Tampa Tribune.
Really? How about that? That's great. Oh, gosh, that's good stuff. Charlie Gasparino, always good to have him on. Charlie, thanks for being here. Always appreciate the time.
Okay, Pete, talk to you.
All right, talk to you later. That is Charlie Gasparino.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.